the grace of God. So my theme for today, I just felt very strongly a while back about thinking ahead, and felt that I needed to just bring some ministry on the grace of God. I've done it before, you know, maybe when we were having videos, I can't remember, but just felt it so strongly in my spirit to bring some ministry again on the grace of God. And before I start, I just feel I need to pray. As we're talking about the grace of God, and just want to pray that as we're just gathered in God's house and we're gathered with one another, and as we're talking about God's amazing grace, we know that He wants to pour it out upon us. And I just want to pray that as we're listening to the Word of God, and as our hearts are opened to the Word of God, that His grace will come and touch us, minister to needs that are here this morning, to needs of those that may be watching the video, maybe those that need a touch physically, those that need a touch spiritually, those that may need a touch mentally, maybe that you need God's grace to help you in a situation or a circumstance. And as I talk about God's grace, it is that I want that we would be thrilled again by it, but not only thrilled about it, but that we would receive it into our lives, into our hearts, and into our circumstances, and into our situations. So God, we want to thank you for your amazing grace. Pray that as we've sung about it this morning, and as we speak about it now, that we will open up our hearts to you, to receive more of your grace. Touch those needs that are here this morning. Touch those physical needs, those material needs, those spiritual needs. Lord, those needs perhaps within a family, within the workplace, those unspoken needs. God, I pray that you'll pour your grace into our hearts and lives this morning as we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your amazing grace. Amen. I don't feel that I'm going to get through all that I've got this morning. It may be that we'll just break the law a little. We might go a little bit beyond, but, you know, I'm the, what they call myself, what am I called? The advance manager or whatever they call it?
Yes.
So I'll take the blame. I don't mind going to prison for Jesus. He's worth it. We use the words amazing grace, and as I've pondered so much about it over the last few weeks and meditated about this subject, I've not only been amazed about it, but I've been amazed further to think of the magnitude and of the magnificence of God's grace. And it has been difficult as I've written things down and put notes down to draw it together, to sort out that which I want to share this morning. And so I've sought to do the best that I can. And I've put down here, and it's already been put on the board a little bit this morning, we often hear grace being described in different ways. And one of them is this way, taking each letter of the word, great riches at Christ's expense, or God's riches at Christ's expense. But I want to suggest that as wonderful as those two phrases are, I believe that grace is far more than this. For grace is Jesus himself. And I want to read from John chapter 1 and verses 14 to 18. It says there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And so we see from the scripture there that grace is Jesus himself. That verse 14 says that Jesus is full of grace. Imagine being full of grace. And Jesus is full of grace. But then a couple of verses later it says that grace is the fullness of Jesus. And there's another verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 that says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So grace is amazing, yes, but grace is also abundant, and grace is abounding. So grace is Jesus, but grace is also the action or the work of God through Jesus in all that he has done, in all that he is yet doing, and all that he will yet do in regards to the realm of salvation. Grace is giving to us that which we don't deserve, and we receive it through no merit of our own, but through Jesus, his blood, and the cross. And I'm going to read some more verses this morning. I've got a number of them written down. Not written down there. You know, I haven't written them down because I love to read God's word from his word rather than from writing it down. But as I read these verses, I want you to keep this thought in mind. We don't need to see the word grace or read the word grace to recognize grace. Let me say it again so you can grasp what I'm trying to say. When we're reading the scripture, we don't need to see the word grace in a particular verse to be able to recognize grace. So in some of the verses that I'm going to read, grace as a word will be in the text, but in others, it won't be, but it'll be demonstrated by the action that is found in the text. See, the context of every verse is that what has happened is only because of God's grace. And again, it's been difficult to know which scriptures to turn to, but as I said, I've turned to some. And the first we're going to go to is Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 to 5. And it says there, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." See, Paul is saying there that, you know, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You've been made alive together with Christ and everything else. And it's as if he just stops there and thinks, I better add this on. By grace, you have been saved. And it would be a good practice, I think, for each one of us. Not that we're going to add to scripture, but when we read verses in the New Testament in particular and the epistles that talk of God's wonderful salvation and redemption towards each one of us, that as we read those wonderful things, that we at the end of it remind ourselves and say this to ourselves, it's by grace I have been saved. And whatever the scripture is saying in regards to whatever aspect of salvation it's talking about, just say to yourself at the end, by grace, I have been saved. It's a wonderful thought. It's a thrilling thought. It's something that should excite us to remember, to realize, to appreciate the fact that all we've got in the realm of salvation is simply because of God's grace. By grace, I have been saved. And we go further into the same chapter, verse 8, and it says there, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." It's the grace of God that has saved us. And then we go to Romans chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, we go there to verses 23 to 24. And it says, "Therefore, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And it continues, but I'll stop at that point there. The wonderful thing about grace is that it not only saves us, but grace justifies us. Grace gives us a right standing before God. We stand before God because of his grace, just as if we had never sinned. How amazing is grace? That sinners can stand before God and he looks at them just as if they have never sinned. And then we go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 10 to 14. And it says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now notice that the word grace does not appear in those verses, but those verses are actually full of grace, because it reminds us that grace not only saves us, grace not only justifies us, but it tells us that grace sanctifies us as well. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us and makes us completely clean. First of all, it makes us clean initially at redemption at the time of our salvation, but sanctification continues to work in our hearts, making us more like Christ as the grace of sanctification works in our hearts and our lives. And then two verses we'll read together here. First of all, from 2 Corinthians 12, and then we'll go from there, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. So 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, it says there, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Grab hold of that wonderful promise this morning. My grace is sufficient for you, for me. For my power is made perfect in weakness. His grace sustains us and his grace strengthens us. And the other verse in 1 Peter 5 verse 10 is this. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, so suffering, then grace, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Grace sustains and strengthens. And then we go to Philippians chapter 1. And verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Grace is mentioned in the next verse, but not in this verse. But I want to suggest this morning that we see grace at work in that verse, that I am sure of this, that he who began a work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, that grace will continue to work in our hearts and lives until that day of completion. God will not withdraw his grace. As he's called us, so he will keep us. And as he keeps us, he will keep on pouring his grace into our hearts and lives till that day when we stand complete in the Lord Jesus. And then we'll go back to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. And it says there, I've put a wrong reference down there and I've checked them twice. Doesn't matter. It says there, what I tell you it says there, it says there that grace is truth. Grace is truth. And let's just ask the question, what is truth? And what else is truth? Well, I've said at the beginning that Jesus is truth. So grace is truth. Jesus is truth. But we also read in John 17 that God's word is truth. And I want to suggest this morning that because God's word is truth, this is God's grace gift to you and me. Because grace is truth. So this is a book of grace. It's God's grace gift to you and me, and we need to treasure it. We need to treasure it by reading it, meditating upon it, realizing that this is grace from God to help us in our lives. And then as I've looked at those scriptures, I also thought of some of the hymns that we sing about grace, and we've had some of them this morning. And the well-known one with the old version and the modern version that carries on with "My chains fell off," his amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And it's all because of the amazing grace of God. You and I this morning, we could be found in any number of places outside of this building. We could be sick, lying in our vomit and sick. We could be in a corner, high on drugs. We could be anywhere and everywhere if it hadn't been for the amazing grace that sought us and found us and opened our eyes from being blind to now we see. Amazing grace. And then we can think, I think you might have mentioned this, and I'm not sure now, grace, 'tis a charming sound. Grace, 'tis a charming sound. And the words of that chorus that go on to say, saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, but Jesus died for me. Grace is personal. It's personal. Saved by grace alone. They're hymns that are powerful, aren't they? In their message concerning the grace of God. And we've already sang, only by grace can we enter. There's the other one that goes on to say that grace is flowing like a river. Hymns that speak about and glorify this whole arena subject of God's grace. But then on Monday evening at the Ladies Fellowship, and I'm going to give a plug for the Ladies Fellowship this morning. Ladies, if you don't come, come along. I've been coming since we've been here. Well, they've been opened because I've been coming to do the computer system for the ladies. But I tell you, I've enjoyed it. Speaker a couple of months back was brilliant. I didn't hear myself, but... Come on a Tuesday evening whenever ladies' meeting, because it's a great time of fellowship, to be blessed and to be ministered to and to be strengthened. But last Monday it was a Songs of Praise, and one of the choices was a well-known hymn from the Redemption Hymnal 176. I shouldn't even need to turn to it, but I'm going to. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In pity angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. When, with a ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvellous! How wonderful! And my song shall ever be. How marvellous! How wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. Notice the word grace doesn't appear in that hymn. Not once. But I want to tell you, when you read those words and listen to those words, and it gripped me as we were listening to it on Monday evening, that this is a hymn that is full of the grace of God. God working to bring redemption into your heart and into my heart. He took my sins, that's grace. He took my sorrows, that's grace. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And he did it for me. He did it for you. It's a hymn that is full of grace. And later that same night, Monday night, I went to bed and I wasn't sleeping. And I was thinking about this morning, meditating upon it. And another hymn came to my mind, again in this redemption hymnal. And it starts off like this. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. I tell you, that's grace. It's a hymn of grace. It's the grandest theme. It's the grandest message that we can ever sing about. The message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A message of grace that he is able. Our God is able to deliver. And in grace Jesus came. In grace Jesus came to lift us up out of the horrible pit. To deliver us from the horrible pit. And to take our feet from the miry clay. There's a phrase we've probably all heard of, and really time is running away, and I'm nowhere near. There's a phrase we probably have all heard of that goes like this, opened up a can of worms. You've probably had it said to you. I've had it said to me when I've perhaps had to go to deal with something, and somebody else has said to me, just be careful, because the moment you start to talk about it, you're going to open up a can of worms. And that's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, they reached out and took the forbidden fruit. But the moment they took the forbidden fruit, they opened up a can of worms. It's a shame the worm hadn't eaten the fruit first. But they did. They opened up a can of worms. And it's caused nothing but problems and issues and troubles ever since. But what I want to suggest this morning is that when Jesus came to Calvary, when Jesus went to the cross, what he did, he was opened up a chest full of treasure. A chest full of treasure. And that treasure is the grace of God. He's opened it up for you and for me. Again, going back to last Monday, Bonnie, she's here this morning, Bonnie asked me a question about our garden and talking about what we planted in the way of fruit and veg, and I started to list some of it, but I couldn't remember it all. So when I went home, I went outside to count up the veg and the fruit that we've planted. And the list is quite long, so I won't mention what the list is, but I've counted that we've planted 19 different types of fruit or veg in the garden. And it's veg and fruit that will be a blessing to Elaine and myself in the not so distant future, but also to others as well, as we can bless them with the provision in our garden. But when it comes to describing the treasures of God's grace, the list is even longer. It's a long, long list. It's amazing. And it's abounding grace that as we dig in and discover and allow it to be planted and cultivated in our lives, will not only be a blessing to ourselves, but will be a blessing to others as well. I've often quoted while preaching and in the daily devotions another verse of scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that reads like this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then it goes on to list some of those blessings. See, these spiritual blessings that are listed here in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, and the many more blessings that it doesn't list, are all the fruit and the benefits that we receive of the grace of God. And going back to John 1:16, it says, For from his fullness we have all received, and we are still receiving grace upon grace, abounding grace. God's grace is amazing. I want to ask the question, are we digging into the treasure box? Christ opened at Calvary and taking from them the treasures of grace. I better stop there. We'll continue again, to be continued, because I'm not even halfway really. But let's go away from your rejoicing in the grace of God. Be encouraged about the grace of God. And reach out and receive from his grace. His grace that has saved you. It's the grace that is sufficient for you. It's his provision for you. To strengthen us. To encourage us. To bless us. And everything else that we need as we're walking this pilgrim way. For by grace you have been saved, and by his grace we are being kept. Amen. Amen.